You're listening to Zed Games. That was MC Lars with OG Original Gamer. Kicking the episode off was Space Game by MC Lars. And it is my pleasure to introduce MC Lars himself in the studio with us tonight.
Hey guys, good to see you.
Man, thanks very much for joining us here at Zed Games.
I just want to thank you. You picked me up at the airport. You hooked me up with the wireless password for the radio station. You know, you guys are really treating me well. So thank you for getting me at the airport. I was in Long Reach. My parents are in town, and we were learning about Outback history.
Oh, that would have been thrilling.
It's very warm out there, dude.
Awesome. It would be, too.
Yeah, not a problem at all. Hey, you've just arrived from New Zealand. How's the tour going so far, man?
Good. I just put out my Edgar Allan Poe EP, and this is the Southern Hemisphere tour. And New Zealand was awesome. Like, I'd never toured there, but I'd had songs on the radio there. So it was like a long time coming, and people were really happy, and the shows were great. And there's a lot of like interesting nerd culture in New Zealand. And, you know, they gave us Lord of the Rings. So they're part of the landscape.
They've done well.
Yeah.
You didn't put them on the map, really.
Literally.
So you're here on the back of your latest EP, Edgar Allan Poe. Can you tell us more about it?
So I've always been obsessed with him as a writer. I studied 19th century American lit at university, and I loved how Edgar Allan Poe was an author who was obsessed with the sound of things, you know?
Yeah.
So when he would write poems, he wrote them to be read aloud. He used a form called iambic tetrameter, or also trochaic octameter, which is the same poetic form you hear in 90% of all rap. So to take his poems and just put a breakbeat under them is really true to hip-hop, in that hip-hop is a culture predicated on remixing the past. And so I wanted to do a whole EP of his songs. I'd done a few tracks based on his works, but I wanted to do a whole 30-minute project. Yeah, The
That's
Raven.
That's one of his, isn't it? I had that. Well, no, I was listening to that the other day and going, now this rings a bell. I've read this before at school, I think. But yeah, well, very nice.
I suspected that you may have done the entire EP just so you could say, rapping on my chamber door.
Well, rapping on my chamber door.
I have a puppet raven that I take with me, and I bring people on stage to do every show, to
really?
Do the rapping part. And coming through customs from New Zealand, they were really like confused why I had this like very lifelike dead bird in my bag. So rapping, who's that rapping? That hit me. That one pun was what made me do the whole Poe.
That's what started it.
Yeah.
So if Poe was alive today, what do you think he would be?
He would be an alcoholic pedophile. with like a really good sense of
the
rhythm.
Crazy bird aviary out the back.
With a ton of birds, and like he'd be very emo. He'd be all up at the hardcore shows with the dyed hair, really sad. But he'd also love rap. He'd love the expression. He'd love the rhythms. You know, I feel like he would love Odd Future and Eminem and mm-hmm. all the horrorcore, Insane Clown Posse stuff. Like Poe would be up on hip hop. And so that's why it's great to make him relevant in 2012, you know?
Yeah. So is this the first of like a proposed trilogy? Is that something I read?
Oh, you're up on it, man. Yeah, I'm doing Shakespeare and I'm doing Herman Melville, other authors I've explored through songs. So I'm going to do different EPs for authors. And that's just, you know, I call it lit hop. It's like hip hop, but literary. So I always on Twitter, I'm always like hashtag lit hop on everything.
That is a whole new genre.
Cool. Well, we might hear a track from that EP right now. This one, Flow Like Poe, Lars, can you tell us about this one?
So we premiered this at Carnegie Hall, which is a classical music venue in New York. And it's a song about how poetry and hip-hop have a lot in common. And we recorded it with a live string section.
That's MC Lars with Flow Like Poe. You're listening to Zed Games. We have MC Lars here in the studio with us.
And I feel like we should just point out that that happened to be the Australian premiere of that song, by the way.
High five. Thank you, guys.
High five.
Awesome.
Claps all around.
Okay, now you're an independent musician, and you've been like a very strong advocate of the DIY ethics. And you financed, I think it was Lars Attacks through Kickstarter. Is that something that's in line with your sort of independent / cut out the middleman ethos?
Yeah, Kickstarter is so great. Like, the crowdsourced funding is awesome because, like, whenever you have someone investing in you, they always have a interest in your content and what you have to say and how you want to say it. And so Kickstarter was awesome because for Lars Attacks, I was able to go right to the fans and be like, hey, I want to make a really, like, personal record. I want to make something awesome that's not commercial, but I know you guys are going to love it. And like, let's do this. Who wants to pre-order it? And like, in doing that, I was able to have complete creative control, but not sacrifice on the quality of the production. So I think in today's era, you know, like the idea of having someone control what you have to say is not that important. It's not necessary, because labels are really just a bank. They'll loan you money, you'll recoup it. If you don't, you get dropped.
Yeah.
And it's like just a really messed up industry. It's the metaphor of the someone who's like, they sign a bunch of people and then they'll drop everyone. And that's why I've always been an advocate of free downloading, because when you give away your music, it lets you travel. Yeah. And it lets you like go places like Brisbane and play club shows to people who want to hear your music who wouldn't have heard it otherwise, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool.
And your track Download the Song charted here in Australia in 2006, I think. The song is about how like the music industry is shifting towards digital distribution and how like record labels are becoming obsolete. Are you surprised at how accurate a prediction that was?
So funny. That song was Download the Song kind of was the whole marketing plan for Spotify and Pandora and all the services that have kind of taken the place of the physical distribution. You know, there's still CDs, but they're not around as much, you know. I think that song was, it was interesting. I wrote that in 2005 and like a lot of it came true. So music is absurd. Music, what? Music was a product, now it is a service. And that's more true than ever. Mm. You know?
When we started, we were playing a track that you're saying takes you back to 2005, but you started a lot earlier than that. Let's go back for people out there that aren't too familiar with your work. Let's take you back to when you first started. What was it? It was before 2000 when you started writing this sort of stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'd been playing guitar in punk bands and stuff. I put out my first solo CD in 98 that I sold around my high school. And I was doing techno beats and like looping funny stuff. And that's when I started rapping. I did a rap song based on Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Yeah.
I call it Rap Beth.
Yeah.
And I was 16. And I'm almost 30. So for 14 years I've been doing music, and for 10 years I've been touring. And it's just cool that like I've seen so much change, but being independent means that I've just been able to grow steadily on my own terms and make the music I want and find the nerd fans who get it, who understand that it's smart, it's not poppy, but it is something that speaks to them. You know what I mean?
Was there ever a backup plan if it wasn't going to be music? Was there anything, you know, were your parents ever trying to get you to do anything else, or have they been totally supportive from day one saying, yes, my son's going to be a rapper? You know, like anything else ever planned?
That's a good question. I mean, their whole thing was you got to finish university. I took a year off senior year to tour. That was my first Aussie tour. And I toured with a band called Bowling for Soup. And I came back and finished. The plan was to be a therapist. I was minoring in psychology. So, you know, one day maybe I'll go back and do art therapy or be a professor of literature or something. Mm. But it's just music has taken its own path. And it's, I find with music, if you take too much time off, people forget you.
Yeah.
So I try to come back to Australia every few years and keep putting things out. If I'd taken 4 or 5 years to do my grad degree, it would have been hard.
Yeah.
I would have been like done. So I kind of just, it had this momentum, but yeah. My parents they're actually here in Australia now. My dad is from Melbourne and they're here to see the show. They'll be there tomorrow.
So of course they're incredibly proud. They're coming on a trip with you.
They're awesome.
So you've gone from that to, you know, fantastic collaborations with people, including Weird Al Yankovic, which is like one of Ray's all-time favorites.
Yeah, totally.
So tell us more about those sorts of collaborations. Who else have you worked with and who's been the most fantastic person to record with?
I mean, it's been so cool. The cool thing about hip-hop is it's a very collaborative genre. So Weird Al and I got together. He'd heard Download the Song, and he had also like read some article on MTV.com where I talked about how much I loved him.
Yeah.
So he got in touch with me and I said, hey, I want you to play accordion on my next record. And that was awesome. And he sends me a Christmas card every year and we hang out when I'm back in LA.
Really?
So yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he actually recorded a song called Don't Download This Song.
Yeah.
and it was like We Are The World with like a huge chorus and stuff, except against piracy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I have it. Oh, my gosh.
He's a man.
One of the tracks that we're about to play now from your latest EP features an appearance by the Dead Milkmen. Ken, what's the story behind that collaboration?
The Dead Milkmen, so are they big here?
Not really. They're still pretty underground, yeah.
They were the first punk band to really, like, take humor and bring it into punk rock. And I've been a fan of theirs for probably maybe 15 years. And I did an interview. I was on Warped Tour last year, which is a punk festival tour in America. And I talked about how my goal was to have the underground credibility of them, but also have the fun punk rock approach. And they read the interview, and Rodney Anonymous hit me up. And so we became, like, really good friends. And mm-hmm. when I'm on tour in Philly, I stay with them. I'm opening for them on Halloween there. And anyway, so I was like, I want to redo Mr. Raven with you guys. I wanted to do a Dead Milkmen remix. Mm-hmm. So we Rodney actually rewrote some of the rhymes, and then we did a back and forth rapping. And yeah, it's cool. Really cool to work with them.
Now, Lars, you've got a show tomorrow night here in Brisbane. X and Y Bar.
X and Y Bar in the Valley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What can we expect tomorrow night at the show?
Well, I'm doing a bunch of new stuff, bunch of old stuff. I'll have my Mr. Raven puppet, freestyling. I have video projection set up. So every song I do now, I have a video that goes with it, because I do video DJing with the tracks. So it's cool. It's like a multimedia punk show. Usually there's like a mosh pit. You know what I mean? It's a fusion of different cultures. And I haven't been here since 2009 with this band Werewolves, who I hear are doing well.
Yep.
A Brizzy band.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. So they were my backing band on the last tour.
Cool.
It was pretty dope. But I haven't been here for a few years, so, like, I'm just excited to do the new material, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't have a band this time?
Just my computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's the dynamic on the tour, touring with or without a band? Like, is there less hijinks?
You know, it's...
Well, if it's just you.
I mean, do you still trash hotel rooms and stuff?
What sort of mischief do you get up to when it's you're in your computer? It wrecked the rooms.
It's more, you get more freedom, and it's also like you don't lose money touring, and it's also like you can do more stuff. Touring with a band is very expensive, but it's also fun, because, like, there's some songs I can't do without a band that I won't be able to do. But there's still a lot of good hijinks.
And you're going to the zoo tomorrow?
Australia Zoo.
Yep.
And I'll make it back in time for soundcheck.
Those are the sorts of hijinks you get up to. You visit zoos.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about games for a second. A recurring theme of your music is video games. We heard the Space Game song earlier, and you've also done a whole bunch of other ones. OG Original Gamer, Guitar Hero Hero. Is there a portable console that you have that you bring on tour with you, or just your phone, or do you play on tour? Is there time?
That's a great question. I grew up playing games a lot, and nowadays when I have time, I'm working on music more. But I love, like, Mario Kart. Whenever someone has, like, a Wii or GameCube or something, that's my favorite go-to game. And I love puzzle games and spatial games, and Tetris is still one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not really up on current systems, but I think it's amazing what they're doing now. And I think gaming is, like, you know, we live in a virtual world, so, like, it's cool that people can relate to each other through gaming. And it's really present in the scene I'm in America. They call it nerdcore rap, and gaming is such an important part of that. You know what I mean?
Nerdcore, I love that. I have never heard nerdcore. I'm gonna take that on and make it really big in this country. Do you like word games? I mean, given what you do, would that be, you know, like, if you get the chance, would you sit down and play a normal crossword or find
Scrabble.
A word or Scrabble, you know, do you like those sorts of games?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I love board games. I love creative games where, like, you have to draw, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My friend actually is a head developer on Words with Friends. Is that big here yet?
Yeah, well, yes. we've mentioned it once or twice here.
Yeah,
that exploded onto the scene over here.
This is a cool game.
If there was an MC Lars video game, do you think it would be like a rhythm game, like Guitar Hero or DJ Hero, or would it be like a hack and slash RPG where you have to defeat men in suits who are trying to beat you with rolled up record contracts?
That's hilarious.
Record contract.
We actually developed a game at USC, with University of Southern California. They have the biggest gaming department in the US, and we made a game. It's called Flowmaster, where you have to select the right rhyme on time with the beat, and you get points, and it tells a whole story. So that's done. We're just beta testing it. We're going to release it, but it is a rhythm game. And so it's going to be for the iPhone and the iPad.
Uh-huh.
So that's coming out.
Fantastic.
When are we hoping to see that out?
Well, it's, I don't know, the early next year, hopefully. I realize that in the gaming development world, things are move much slower than the music business, just because you want to make sure something's perfect before you release it. But 2013, definitely. So,
that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And you're also working on a children's show, I hear.
Yeah, you got a lot going on.
I'm busy. Yeah, that is the main project right now. It's a the idea is it's called Yes, Yes, Y'all, and it's me. I'm working in a garage, and I build these four robots, and they all represent the four elements of hip-hop culture. There's one that represents rapping, DJing, breakdancing, and graffiti art, and they're puppets, and we all come together, and we travel through time, and we meet different authors and poets and writers and historical figures, and we teach, we give them ideas and we learn. And it's, so it's a way of like showing how hip hop can remix the past and inform the future. And so that's what we're developing now. We're writing the songs, doing the script.
That's so exciting. So it's educational. What sort of age group?
We're trying to hit 11 to 14. 'Cause that right now in the US has, there's definitely a lot of need for good educational entertainment in that demographic. And those people, those kids love hip hop music. And they get all the hip hop they have is like the trap music and Tyga and like stuff that just isn't as intelligent as it could be or fun. And so like taking all that culture, putting it in, having puppets that are like really lovable and awesome. And then I'm the host and we go travel through time and make the world more awesome through rap music.
Paint me a little picture here. When you say there's puppets, are you in costume? Are you're playing yourself, or are you a character? And what do these puppets look like?
Well, it's me. It's kind of like Sesame Street in that I'm the human character, and then we have like there's one character who's a walking microphone who's like probably about the size of Kermit the Frog, and then we have a we have another character who's the turntables, DJ Pickles, and he's got like turntables for eyes. And then we have a character that's going to be in a big bodysuit, kind of like
Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, like or like Big Bird. Like he's the spray paint can, and his eye is the nozzle.
Oh yeah.
And then a little character who's a spider, Crazy Legs, who represents breakdancing, and he everyone gets on these magic turntables, and he runs on one of them, and it makes them spin so they can travel through time. So they're different sized characters to give it like that, you know, the three dimensionality of it.
Wow. So. This is so cool. I cannot wait to awesome. See this.
This is MC Lars and you're listening to Zed Games.
Yay. And what song was that? That was one of my favorites. Tell us about that song.
That song is called Guitar Hero Hero, open parentheses, beating Guitar Hero will not make you slash, close parentheses.
It's a lot of good advice in that song for some people, I think.
So you've made a career out of music while at the same time remaining independent, doing things your way. What advice would you give to musicians or anyone in the creative industries who would like to follow a similar path?
I think the trick is to stay cohesive with your vision. To, you know, when you have a unique vision, if you're able to like make it on your own and collaborate with people on your own terms, it makes it so what you have to say isn't compromised. I think a lot of the issues when people try to go the pop route or the major label route or aren't so sure about what they're trying to say or how they want to say it, it becomes watered down and it becomes diluted. And I think the trick is being an independent artist allows you to do things your own way. And even if you're the field of grass that you're growing is smaller, it's your own. And no one can take that away from you. And I think that's my biggest advice. You know, don't try to copy what's on the radio. Don't try to emulate the pop music because that is so ephemeral. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Look in your heart, figure out how to do it on your own terms, be persistent and work hard because it takes, you know, it's taken me 10 years to be able to say, this is my job. This is what I do. And it was worth every minute. I wouldn't change anything. You know what I mean?
Awesome, man.
Does this mean you think, have you hit the top? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that, maybe I've worded it wrong. No, do you wake up and say, I'm successful. This is it now. This is my job. You know, have you realized you've hit that point? I mean, I just Googled you a second ago and your photo is the first thing that comes up when you Google your name. Does that mean, you know, is this it for now? You're famous, successful.
I've accomplished everything I've wanted to do in the music business. And I think that is really, I'm really happy that I don't have any regrets. And now it's okay. Let's leverage this to do like the TV stuff to educate kids and make something positive. You know what I mean? I do a lot of nonprofit activism work. And I think using my underground like position to do that is really cool. Like, I work with a group, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and we've raised so much money for them. They're so great. And doing positive stuff like that is just, that's when you realize that you do music not for yourself, not for the glory. You do it because it makes people happy and you want to make the world a better place. That's what I realize every day. And that's what makes me happy. And when I got to that point, it's very like Buddhist, like very like cool to realize, oh, we're just all part, like we're all on the same path. So if we can give back, that's the best thing about being in the music business. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Loz, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio tonight. Thank you very much for coming in.
Much love. Thanks for having me and thanks for promoting the new project.
Hey, no speaking worries. Of promoting, we're going to give that a big plug right now. So Brisbaneites, you can check him out tomorrow starting at 9 p.m. He'll be on stage at X and Y playing for Snitch. Adelaide, he's heading down on the 28th, 30th in Sydney, and in 1st of October we'll be hitting Inglewood, WA. That's awesome. You're going right to the other side of the country and then back 4 days later from Melbourne. And then you're having a special birthday party at Manor Bar on the 6th. So that is one you should all check out if you're in Melbourne. That's the Manor Bar in Melbourne, not Brisbane. And go say happy birthday. If you want any more details, go to www.mclars.com.
And your latest EP, Edgar Allan Poe, available now on iTunes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
In the year 2012, the Earth was attacked by an extraterrestrial military force, destroying 98% of all living creatures. 84 years later, humans studied fragments of abandoned alien spacecrafts and gained the ability to travel through time. In order to prevent the devastating attack of 2012, the humans sent back four protectors, with a mission to defend the Earth at any cost. Together, these four protectors formed Z-Games, the most powerful force that the Earth has ever known. Now, Z-Games is all that stands between us and the impending invasion. Long live the planet Earth. Long live Z-Games.